You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
The headline said, close to the greatest aviation disaster in history. He said what had happened with this plane, it was close to the greatest aviation disaster in history. And what happened was, as this Air Canada, it was flying into San Francisco, I believe it was, and as it was approaching the runway, it took the wrong approach. Say wrong approach. It took the wrong approach, and what happened was, it was flying, it was trying to land where there was about four planes taxiing. And so what would have happened is that if it would have kept descending, it would have crashed into about four planes. Now, these planes have, highly flammable fuel, and also they have, each plane has hundreds of passengers on it. And so this would have been the worst aviation disaster, but somebody noticed, one of the captains in the plane said, there is a plane coming towards us. And so they spoke to the Air Canada pilot and said, listen, you're on the wrong approach. You're approaching this all wrong. And luckily, well, we thank God, I believe God is involved in everything, that a disaster was averted. I want to say is that having the wrong approach to something can be dangerous. Just like this plane, it comes into the wrong approach. It had to correct its approach. When you come in at the wrong, when you approach something wrong, it can be detrimental. How many know when you approach money wrong, you can get yourself in a lot of problems? When you approach marriage wrong or relationships wrong. How many know when you approach your spouse wrong? Don't just say ouch, yeah? Just work it out when you go home, amen. When you approach things wrong, it can have a negative effect. Well, today I want to talk about having the right approach when we come to God. And I believe God's going to help us today. I believe God's going to help us and reward us. Exodus 3, verse 1. The Bible says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock on the back of the desert and came to Hebron, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, when he says it twice like that, he's really trying to get his attention. Something is serious here. He's not, that's not just in there for poetic reference. That's Moses. Moses, he's trying to get his attention. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your kindness towards us. Father, I just pray for your anointing to come down in this place, fall in this place. I believe your presence is here. Lord, you said wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're there. And Father, I pray that you would magnify your Son, Jesus Christ, in our sight. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to speak about having the right approach. In our text, we see that this is Moses, we could really say that this is Moses' most important encounter with God. This is his most, because this is the initial encounter with God. This is where Moses first meets with God in this way. Now, if you look in the book of Hebrews and other references in the scripture, we would say that Moses really, I believe he had a revelation of God. He didn't know him as Yahweh or the Tetragrammaton, the three letters. He didn't know him as that because God has not revealed himself yet as I am that I am. But Moses did have some type of revelation of God for him to make the decisions that he made. But in this instant, we see that really, this is a game changer. He becomes, the Bible says that God speaks to Moses as a friend face to face. How many would like a deeper, intimate relationship with God like that? That, you know, this deepness, Moses had it. He became one of the greatest leaders. God called him at this point to become one of the greatest leaders that the world has ever known, really, and not just in the Bible. And not only that, he experienced the supernatural. This is where Moses throws down his rod and it becomes a snake, and he puts his hand into his jacket, it becomes leprous, he puts it back in, it's not leprous. So this is where he first encounters the supernatural. So all of this is an amazing experience. And I believe that me and you, we need to have these experiences with God. How many know that? How many believe our God is a real God? That he talks and he interacts with us. And we need these experiences. Otherwise, what happens is that your Christianity becomes this routine, this ritual, this habit, this thing that we're doing. We need to have this deeper instances with God, these encounters, should I say. But before Moses really has this encounter with God and all that we've said, in the text, Moses turns to see it, and God says, do not come, do not approach until you've basically taken off your shoes. So Moses sees this burning bush. Moses is about to go. God says, Moses, Moses. He has to get his attention, says it twice. And then he says, don't come near. Think about this now, that God calls you, but then he gets your attention, and then he says, stay where you are, don't come any closer. So think about this now, that he's calling you, but then he's saying, I want you to stay right where you are. What he's telling Moses is, I need you to change your approach. I need you to change your approach. You don't approach me the way you approach everything else in life. How many understand that? Basically, Moses has been walking around with his sandals. And he's just been, you know, doing what he's doing with his sandals. And that's what it is. He's got the shepherds. He's going here. He's going there. But he's about to go near God. And God's like, no, you don't approach me the way you approach everything else. You don't approach me the way you approach everything else. Moses, I'm not like your job. I'm not like your job. You got to be dedicated to your job. You got to be faithful to your job. How many know we should be the best employers on the job? We should be the best. I thought I'd get one person. Somebody said, yeah, maybe he was a boss. Yeah, they should be. We should be the best. We should be a testimony. When I went for a job interview one time, and the guy said to me, so every job interview I'd ever go to, I was radical. I'd say, listen, I don't work Wednesdays. I would never work a Wednesday, and I won't work Sundays. I've got to be in church on Sunday. I've got to be in the house of God. I need my top up. Look at someone say, you need your top up. And so, anyway, we're digressing. I'm going to stay on point because I want it to be nice and short and concise this today. Amen. And so what I told the guys, I'm a Christian. He said, oh, we've had some Christians here. He said, all they did is preach all the time and they never did any work. That's what he told me. I said, listen, this is what I told the guy in the interview. I said, I'm going to work so hard that you're going to say, yeah, that guy knows Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. And I said, but if people ask me what I did at the weekend, I've got to tell them that I went to church. I'm not there to preach. But listen, if I just live my life, you talk about football, you talk about boxing, you talk about makeup, you talk about hair, weave, eyebrows, nails. Listen, I got to talk about Jesus. We should be the best. But as your job, this is different. This is different. Listen, if some people just treat church as good as their job, their Christianity would improve. But that's a whole nother sermon. That's not even my sermon. And I move on. Basically, God says to Moses, before you come near me, you need to understand, change your approach. Approach me differently. Don't just approach me the way you've been approaching everything else. You see, when I was a kid, I used to love taking things apart. How many of you was like that? I used to love taking things apart. Just taking things, people are not, just no, you're the only nutcase here. Okay, I used to love taking things apart. I used to love breaking toys. because I want to get inside and see why. I remember having a robot, and it would go like this, and that was a good move. And so we'd do that. But I wanted to get inside it. And so I remember prying back the plastic and looking at the machine and took out the bit and see, because I had to see how things worked. But I had another little bit more destructive side to me. Now, I grew up, you know, yeah, I don't know if they still have them. I grew up in my mom's council flat that I grew up in. Used to have this fire in the front room. And what you would do is it had this wheel at the side of it. And you push the wheel in, and then it would release the gas. And then you'd have to turn it, it'd click. How many know about what I'm talking about here? Come on, Anita's with me. Yeah. And so basically this thing, like, so you'd have to push it, and you'd get, and then you click it, and it'd go, pow, and all the gas would go, whoosh. And that's how you turn it on. It's just ghetto. And it was just a real fire. It's just fire there. And so when my mom wasn't in the room, I'd always be burning stuff in the fire. I'd always be rolling up bits of paper like that. And I had a plastic gun, and I started to melt it. And then I learned, wow, it gets hot. And then you melt it, and it gets hard, and then I was like, oh, this is the best. This is crazy. And don't worry, there is a sermon here somewhere. And so what happened was I was melting it one time, and I pulled it out, and it melted so much it went like a liquid, and it dropped on my finger. Woo! It just melted on my finger like that and just went hard. And then when I pulled it off, all the skin came off. And I couldn't go to my mom and be like, look, how did you do that? And then she would have broke the finger. No, she wouldn't do that. But she would have dealt with me. How many know you shouldn't play with fire? You know the Bible says in Hebrews 12:28. That's what it says. Don't play with fire. Let me read it for you. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence. And godly fear, say reverence. And godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This is who he is, church. He's God. He's a consuming fire. That means he's telling you who I am. Now, God is good. God is holy. God is loving. God is kind. God is merciful. But you cannot take away one of his attributes. He's a consuming fire. Fire. That means if you, like me, you want to play with him, if you get too close to him and you're not approaching him in the right way, you're going to get burnt. Look at someone say, you're going to get burnt. That's the real deal. Listen, fire is good. How many know fire is good? Fire gives us power. Fire gives us heat. Fire purifies things. Fire gives us food. Some of you, yeah, that was the best one there. Fire gives us... It helps us. But if you don't respect fire, it will destroy you. If you don't respect. We live in a generation today that talks about respect all the time, but doesn't know what it is. Remember about respect. When I was growing up, you know, I respected the bad man. That's, you know, that when I was growing up, I respect. He didn't work. He didn't do anything. He could give girls and beat people up, and people were scared of him. When he walked in a room, he could just bat up everything. But I respected. My respect was all out of kilter. I didn't respect people that were honest and got education and did a job. And my respect. But we live in a society. I remember. I think I've told a few people this. I remember going to Nando's and there was a guy. See, whenever I go out with my wife, yeah, if there's two seats, if there's a soft seat and a hard seat, my wife takes the hard seat. I mean, the soft seat. I'm only joking. Testing. My wife takes the soft seat. That's a given. She don't even need to ask. It's not like, here you go, Dan. She's like, thank you. She just knows that's my seat. She's learned. That's my seat. So I sit in the hard seat. I remember going to Nando's one time, and I see this guy come with his girlfriend, and he ran and sat in the soft seat. And she went, and she came over, and she saw us, and me and my wife blatantly, we just looked at them. What? What's happening here? And so she was like, come on. And he was like, what? It's good. Take your seat. And so she was like, come on, stop mucking about. You know when people are looking, you try to style it out. You know that's the daily running for them to. But because you're in public now, you try to show it like it's a different. Yeah, no, it's not different. But he was more truthful than her. He's like, come on. This is how we are. Come on, stop it. Stop being silly. Take a seat. Stop being silly. Take a seat. I said, really? And she took it. She had to sit on the hard seat. And he, listen, and he didn't care. And he told her what he wanted, and she got up and ordered it, paid for it, and then sat back there, and he just stayed on his phone, and he ate it, and they left. No respect. If you would respect to that woman about respect, she'd go, yeah, you better respect me. Respect. Listen, we talk about respect, and we don't know what respect is. We talk about respect all the time. We don't know what respect is. The danger is this: we bring this into our relationship with our holy God. Leviticus 10, we're not going to read it. You can read it in your own time. This is what really stirred this sermon because, you know, I've been, my devotion, I've started in Genesis this year. And so, I mean, I've just finished Numbers. I finished Numbers today. And so I'm going through the Bible. And as I'm reading through Numbers and Leviticus and these books here, I keep seeing the reference that, you know what, God is saying, listen, don't muck about with me. And Leviticus 10, what happens is Aaron's two sons, they come to God and they offer him strange fire. Basically, there was a way that they're supposed to come to God and they just roll up on God and be like, yeah, just take that. God's like, take that? You take that. Fire came back out and killed them. Now, you might be like, why did God do that? No, no, no. God warns, man, I'm a consuming fire. It's my nature. It's what I am. It's what I am. Acts 5. See, it's how we approach the things of God. We've got to understand that God is holy. The Bible says in Acts 5, there were a couple and they lied to the pastor about their offerings. How many have ever read that? Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the pastor about their offerings and the Bible says that they died. See, some churches, they wouldn't even tell you this. I'm going to tell you the truth. I preach Bible here. Look at someone say, that's Bible. I'm going to give you the Bible here. I'm not giving you no powder puff treatment. This is Bible. And let me say this now. If you're not saved, I can understand that this is troubling. Don't worry. It would trouble me if I weren't saved. But you can get saved at the end. You can get saved now. As I say, forgive me. You get saved now. But if you're a Christian and it troubles you, what it shows me is your God is small. You have a small perspective on God. You don't understand his holiness. See, some people may think, oh, in the Old Testament, God was this guy on Rambo, but now in the New Testament, God is more like, I don't know, a bit more softer, you know, a bit more chilled. No, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we know that even in the New Testament dispensation, Ananias and Sapphira is after Jesus. It's after Jesus. It's the church. It happened in church. Paul tells us how to conduct ourselves in church. 1 Corinthians 11:27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks this cup, he's talking about taking communion of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let that man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means they've passed away. You know what he's saying there? He says because people, they came into church and they were taking of the bread and the wine in an unworthy manner. They did not examine themselves. Whenever we don't do it often, we're going to do it in a few weeks' time because we should do it more than we do it, but we don't have to do it every week. But what it's saying is these people, they came, and whenever we've done it, we've actually said, listen, if you're not saved here, you don't be doing this. Don't play with this. Don't play with this. And so this is New Testament. Paul is telling us how to deal with the church. How this is the instruction manual of how you live and I live. And he's saying, when you come to God, don't just roll up any old how. You need to change your approach. You need to change your approach. See, God says to Moses, this is holy ground. And we need to understand this. This is something that we really do need to understand. And I say this for your own benefit, is that when you need to understand that when it's God, it's holy. When it's God's thing, it's a holy thing. That's what we got to understand. If it's a God thing, it's a holy thing. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. It's a holy thing. Think about it now. God is on a mountain, and Moses, how many know that mountain wouldn't have been, it's not holy all the time. It became holy. That's the reality. It becomes holy when God turns up. How many of you have read about the tabernacle? The tabernacle, God's presence comes down. This is a holy thing. God comes down. God would meet with them. But if you've really read about the tabernacle, you'll know it was made out of animal skins. Really, the tabernacle, you know, like we upstairs, we got the nursery. We got those boards. You know those boards? That's really what the tabernacle was, just higher. They're just big poles as a curtain goes around and like an oblong. And then you go inside and it would be another oblong, another box within a box. And they'll keep going through the curtain, and then they come to the holies of holies. That's all it was, made of animal skins with wood and gold. And so everywhere that they would go, they would pack it up and they would take it with them, and then they would set it up. And everywhere they would set up that tabernacle, it would become the Holy of Holies. That what it means is that many times we look at things. Imagine you go, you was in Bible times, you say, "This, how can this be the holies of holies? This is just badger skins. Look, this is just a tent. This is like a curtain. I've got curtains in my own house. This is like my house." And you bowl up in there, you're finished. Because you're looking at it for what it is, but you don't realize if it's God's, it becomes holy. It's more than what it is. Because what it comes down to is this. When God puts his name on something, how do you treat it? When God puts his name on something, how do you treat it? Do you treat it the same way you treat everything else? Or do you analyze it for what it is? You're like, oh, well, you think about it now. People say the Bible is just a book. So they read it. They don't read it. They read it. They might not read it. It's just a book. No. It's got God's name on it. That's why they call it the Holy Bible, because it's God's revelation. It's not just the book. It's God's revelation. How you treat it, how you read it, how you devote yourself to it, how you approach it. I was speaking to someone quite new in the church, and they were telling me, they were going through a few things, and I said, listen, start reading the book of the Gospels. And they started reading it, and they came back to me and said, Pastor, this thing is changing me. And I said, how did you start reading it? And they said, well, I just started to read it, and then I had to stop myself. I got like a few chapters, and this is quite new, you know. And then they said, but I realized, and I couldn't have said it better myself. He said, this is not something you just read. She said, this is something where you have to sit yourself down. She said, I had to turn off my phone. I had to get yourself in the, you're going to read this. And she said, I opened it up, got my notepad there, and I just started to read it. And this is why, she said, I'd heard the Bible, read the Bible, all these things. But when I started to do it like that, I started to change. Because when you approach it from a commons perspective, God's like, listen, you get nothing out of it. When you approach it and you say, this is holy ground, let me take off my shoes and let me come to the word of God and say, God, what are you saying? He says, then I'll start to change. Listen, you can go to church from now until Jesus comes and not change one inch. You can sit up in the house of God and be the biggest gangster and the biggest pervert, not change one inch. Because if you do not approach God differently than you approach everything else, you'll get nothing out of it. People come to church. They say, oh, well, you know, just look at these people. I know these people. Some of you knew each other before you even came to church. You're like, yeah, I know half these people, man. This is just my peeps. It's not your peeps. This is church. This is different now. This is different. When we had church in York Gardens, many of you have been to different events in York Gardens. Different events. Not holy events. I remember one time, remember when we was in Yasmin's? And we had the main room on a Wednesday, and then some rusters had the side room. Remember? Someone was dead, and then they had some, what do they call it? Nine? What do they call that thing? Yeah. To get through the door, you had to walk through the smoke. You remember that? And I was trying to preach, and you're I am in. And I was trying to preach. And so you're like, what? Yeah, but how can that be holy? When we were there, it's holy. When we stepped in the place, it's holy. When we said, we're setting up an event to exalt the name of Jesus, God comes down and he says, that's holy now. How you come to church, you bowl up in the church. Just like it's, let's go to church. How do you respond in church? You're like, oh, how do you come? When I come into the house of God, I must come into the house of God. And I'm like, you know what? You know, Corny, I've sat through thousands of sermons. I've preached hundreds of sermons. I've been saved for many, many years. But when I come into the house of God, no matter where it is, I realize this is holy ground. I've been to places where I'm out of the country with my wife. There's no Potter's House around on a Sunday. I've visited other churches, and it's slightly different than what we're doing. I check out what they believe. Okay, I can go there. It's different. But I realize, God, I'm going to honor this because I'm honoring you. You know, even the people, the position. You know, I don't want to, toot my own horn, but even the way that you treat the positions that we give. We have leaders, pastors, someone who's standing in authority for God. I remember when Pastor Peter became the pastor in Rotherhithe. You got to remember, we knew him as just Brother Peter. Just Peter. That's what we knew him as, Peter. And then he becomes the pastor. And I realized a lot of people were like, yeah, and they'd be talking, and be like, yeah, Peter, I'm not feeling Peter, you know. No. You stand over there, man. Because when the ground opens, I don't want to be near you. I don't want to be near you. When the ground opens, I'm not near you. Because now him and his wife, they're trying to do something for God. I'm not going to speak against them. Moses' own sister spoke against Moses and she became leprous. For just saying, oh, does God only speak through him? God can speak through us as well. That's what she said. Does God only speak through him? We hear from God. We could speak God's stuff. God says, you know what? The cloud came down. God came down. God just came down like a cloud that time. And when he went, she was full of leprosy. She was leprous. Oh, I love the word of God. What I realize is this. One of the first signs of departing from the things of God is seen in your approach. Listen, we live in a generation today where there's a lot of things going on. I understand people, we're competing. You remember, when I got saved, there was no mobile phones. People weren't texting people and doing all of that, and your social media and all of these things. And even someone said to me the other day, Pastor, why are people on their phones? I said, well, their Bible might be on their phone. I hope your Bible's on your phone, amen? That you're not checking your emails or your WhatsApps. Because I'm telling you, it won't. That's you and God. This is God's house. I'm not saying it for me. If it was me, do what you want. I don't business. But it's for you. When you come into the house of God, how you, anything that God has put his name on, if you love him, what you say is, I'm going to take care of this. You know, when we go away, there are many of you that you've given my wife a lift home. I've been away, and you've given my wife a lift home. And I don't ask nobody to do that, but I want to say that really does touch me. Really, like, I'm not someone who wants gifts and all of that stuff and celebrations and surprise. I hate surprises, you know that. Surprise! I hate being the center of attention like that. It's just, I feel uncomfortable. But when people do that, I'm like, you know what? That touches me deeply. What that is, what they're saying is, Pastor, we see that your ministry is important to us, so we make what's important to you important to us too. See, God wants to know the same thing. If God is important to you, then everything God puts his name on, make it important to you. Everything that God puts his name on, make it important to you. Make the word important to you. Make prayer important to you. Make the church important to you. Listen, if people gossip about people in the church, we've got to rise up and say, we're not into that here. Nobody here is perfect. No one here is perfect. I'm the first one that's not perfect. And then it goes all the way down. So if we want to pick out people's problems, We could pick out everybody's problems. But what we're not here to pick out problems. We're here to help people through their weaknesses. And so what we do is we don't want to say, listen, this is the church. We don't want to gossip. Listen, we don't even want to gossip about other churches. Listen, I don't even want to gossip about other churches. I'm not into, I say very rarely, I can't even think of any time that I'm going to get up and preach against another church. I may say crazy, if there's a church and they do crazy things, that people run around naked, I'm going to say, no, that's wrong. But I don't get up and preach, that church, this church, that, listen, God will work some of that stuff out. I don't preach what I'm not, I preach what I am. What I'm saying is if it's God's name on it, we need to approach it in a different way. Let me close with this. This is what he says. He says, take your sandals off your feet. Because God is holy, we need to remove some stuff when we enter into his presence. Some of you here, maybe you're not saved. You need to remove your self-righteousness. Jesus is holy ground. And if you're going to come and give your life to Jesus, you need to let go of your self-righteousness. You need to get rid of that. What I mean by it is that you cannot get to heaven by your own good works. Your good deeds are like filthy rag before God. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to give you his righteousness. God says to Moses, come on, come close, but take off your shoes. And God would say to some of you today, come to me. But you need to take off your self-righteousness. Admit that you're a sinner. That's what we're saying. Just admit that you're a sinner. So us that are saved, we need to take off the old man so that we can become more like Christ. Think about, what does it mean to take off your shoes? We're not literally saying, you have to physically take off your shoes. But I was thinking, taking off your shoes symbolizes humility. How many know when you take off your shoes, you feel a bit more humble? You know, it's just like, in public. Come on, keep it real. Some of you like, I remember when we was baptizing someone, and someone like, Pastor, can I keep my socks on? I was like, yeah, you can keep your socks on. They didn't want their feet out. The reality is sometimes what God is saying is humble yourself. When you approach, sometimes what it is, when you approach the things of God, you've got to be humble. Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter in. We've got to become like children and come to God and say, have you ever met children and they think they're cleverer than the parent? Yeah, I know that. You're talking nonsense, please. But they're just talking. Sometimes that's how we with God. God is like, come, let's go. Let's meet together. And I know this, I know that. No, come like a child. How many know taking off your shoes makes you more vulnerable? You would feel every stone. Imagine like when you take off your shoes, you're going to be like, ooh. Remember, this is not on carpet. This is the ground. He would have felt everything. As he's coming, it would have made him move more vulnerable. And what I'm saying is sometimes we've got to become more vulnerable with God. Believe God and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Naked, sensitive, I could keep going through all of these things. Until we do this, he's going to say stop. See, some of you are at a place where you have turned aside to see a great sight, but you have not removed your shoes. Remember, let me read the text again. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. He looks, there's a burning bush there. Why is this bush burning, but it's not consumed? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside and looked, God called to him from that place, called out Moses, and said, listen, Moses, don't come here until you take off your shoes. Could it be that some of us, we've turned aside to see, God is great. And let me just say this, you are saved. Remember, we're coming with the right approach. You are saved. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you're saved. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you're saved. Your salvation is secure. But Pastor, I'm not this, I know you're not this and not that. But you need to come with the right approach, because if you come at church and things and you don't realize you're saved, you're going to constantly feel condemned. You're not condemned. You're saved. So you've seen, here's God. God's doing this great things. But God now said, listen, I want intimacy with you. Now take off. Approach me in a different way. Make me holy And then I'm going to meet with you. Then I'm going to call you. Then I'm going to reveal the supernatural to you. Then you're going to become a leader. Then I'm going to speak to you face to face. Then you're going to see revelation. You know, it's so poignant that in that place, after he takes his shoes off and he comes closer to God and he has this dialogue with God, he feels inferior. But that's where God meets with him and says, listen, I know your mistakes and your flaws, but I'm still going to use you. It's in the holy place where you get that reassurance. Not only that, he says, throw down your rod. He throws down the rod. It becomes a snake. He says, take it up. He takes it up. How many know that was preparing him for what was down the road? That later on, it's in the holy place where God meets with you, where he's preparing you, how he's going to use you. That when you come to certain obstacles, you're like, I'm ready for this. Because in the holy place, I'm met with God. This is what we need. All of us. If we would say, God, you know what? I'm going to take off my shoes. I'm going to approach everything that's yours, I'm going to approach it differently than everything else. It doesn't mean that you can't have a job, have hobbies, have money. We're not saying that. What we're saying is, this is different. And when I approach this, my ministry, if you really believe your ministry is for God, you approach it differently. I want to say, I take this ministry very seriously. I take it seriously, church. You know, I really do take this thing seriously. One day I'm going to die, stand before God, give an account of all of this. And you're going to have to give an account. And I want to say is that as we start this year, and we say, God, I'm going to approach you. I'm going to build a holy place. Listen, God will come down and he will meet with us. Let's have the right approach. In Jesus' name, amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.